Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the VR2 on SI podcast. I'm your host, Jack Foster, joined by VR2 on SI writer, as always, Jake Nichols. Today, we are previewing the Battle of the Border. It's Tennessee versus Kentucky, week 10, with the Vols coming off a bye. Orange and white versus the blue and white, a rivalry dating back to the 19th century. And last year, Jake didn't go the Vols' way, 34-7 with Jared G throwing not one, but two pick sixes. So Vol Nation and these players are hungry to get revenge, just something we're going to get into a little later. But first, Jake, how you doing on this chilly yet beautiful Smoky Mountain Friday?
Man, I'm doing well. Like you said, it's a little chilly outside, and I've had to get used to wearing my jacket a little more. But yeah, I'm ready for a big game this weekend, and it should be a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, the nights are brutal, man. Like, the days I can deal with, but when it gets nighttime, I'm like, man, where'd summer go? It's like in Tennessee, we don't have a fall or spring. It's either all hot or all cold, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, but before we get started, everybody, I want to tell you all about Acker Travel Company by Dream Vacations. If you're looking to book travel anytime during the year but don't want to do all the work, just contact our friends Beth and Price at Acker Travel Company so that they can do the work for you. If you book with them, they'll throw in a $50 Visa gift card. I mean, what's there to lose? Go ahead and give them a call now to find that dream vacation you need. The number to call is 678-983-2172, and you can also visit their website, backer.dreamvacations.com. All right, Jake, so usually, you know, when we do our weekly podcast, we have a game to recap and a game to look forward to. You know, we did our Alabama recap last week and kind of talked about the bye week. This week, there's no game to recap because it's the bye week, so we're just previewing Kentucky, Tennessee today. So with not a lot to talk about from last week, I just want to ask you, what is one big storyline you're looking forward to, you know, keeping up with or want to tell everybody about for Tennessee's offense heading into Lexington this Saturday?
I think the big question there is, or big question, if I can talk, is Tyon Evans and Jabari Small. Can they get going early? It's going to be a very cold night, and you have to establish the ground game. Kentucky's defense ranks 23rd in the country with 927 yards allowed through eight games, or that averages out to about 116 yards per game. So against Alabama a couple weeks ago, obviously, you all remember that Tennessee rushed for only 64 yards all night long. Obviously, that's a very tough Alabama defense, but Kentucky's defensive line is no slouch either. Can these two running backs get going early and try to taste this offense the way that we've seen them do in previous weeks?
Absolutely. And a big part of that is, you know, Tyon Evans' health. And that's something Josh Heupel has touched on during the week. You know, we had the bye week. Did guys get healthy? He hasn't really name dropped a ton. He did talk a lot about the offensive line, more so than others. But it seems Tyon Evans, you know, playing the last time around should be 100% a go. And, you know, when number eight's rolling for the Vols, it's hard to stop their offense. So, like you said, big thing to watch there. And I think that goes hand in hand with the offensive line of Cade Mays. Cooper Mays finally back to 100%. Cade Mays can go. These depth guys like Dane Davis and Kingston Harris will be there, you know, to relieve some of the pressure from the starters. If that's full go for Tennessee, then good things should happen on their ground game. And, you know, another thing with Hendon Hooker as well, rushing and passing in his health is at an all-time high right now. And this was something I was talking about a couple of days ago. I talked about Tennessee might not – this might be the healthiest Tennessee team we've had since week one, you know, which means that this will be the first time we've seen this kind of Tennessee team come out at all because Joe Milton was the starter in week one. So with Hendon Hooker and this health on offense, you know, it could be a totally different ballgame with this Tennessee offense, don't you think?
Yeah, it absolutely could. And that's a great point that, you know, this is, like you said, this is the first time we've been able to maybe see the full version of the Hendon Hooker Tennessee offense. So I don't know. It should be exciting to watch. And, you know, personally, I'm predicting that that Tennessee could come out on top. I think it should be interesting. But given the way that Kentucky's played recently, I'm looking for a big night from the Vols offense.
Yeah, absolutely, my man. And moving on to the Tennessee defense, what is one big storyline you have for this Tennessee defense?
Well, just like I talked about the need to establish a rushing attack early for Tennessee's offense, the same key kind of goes for the defense in shutting down what Kentucky offers at the running back position. Chris Rodriguez Jr. is the second best back in the league currently with 809 yards. He has five touchdowns on the year, and he seemed to surpass, I think, Kavoisier Smoke a little bit in the production recently. And Tennessee's rush defense, while not terrible is not great. It ranks 61st in the NCAA with over 1,100 rushing yards allowed this season. Obviously, a large chunk of that has come against teams like Alabama and Ole Miss. But we saw Tennessee have success in shutting down guys like Tyler Beatty earlier this year, especially, like I said, in that Missouri game. He's currently the best back statistically in the conference. Can the Vols do the same thing against Rodriguez and Kentucky in what, as I mentioned before, is going to be a raucous environment? It's going to be cold. Can you wrap up when you need to and keep these guys at bay?
Yeah, it's definitely going to be in the 40s, may drop into the 30s a little bit in Lexington on Saturday night at 7. And Jake, I want to note, like, Kentucky lost to Mississippi State last week. Granted, it was in Starksville, and Mississippi State was favored, which was a surprise to me. I thought Kentucky would be favored heading in with only one loss. But what did, if you saw anything from Kentucky's offense, you know, Will Levis had three picks in only 150 yards. Like I said, Mississippi State's defense has higher ranks than Tennessee's, but what, how do you think Kentucky's going to rebound after that poor performance from last week?
I feel like your key here is you have to tell Levis to just play calm, stay in your game plan, and, you know, make accurate throws. He had three interceptions last week. And so you have to, you know, take what the defense gives you and not try to go too big, especially with the way that this Tennessee offense is open this season. They currently rank first in the country with 15.5 points in each first quarter, with averaging 15.5 points per first quarter. So, you know, this Tennessee offense is going to put up numbers and they're going to do it early. Can Levis stay calm and make his reads and put together a solid performance and, you know, kind of keep the Kentucky offense going and keep it, I guess, less mistake prone than they were last week is, you know, the main point.
Yeah. And, you know, Tennessee hasn't been a stranger to taking the ball away ever since those first couple weeks. They've really turned it on in the turnover department, having one in every game still. So I want to touch on, I want to touch on this significance behind the rivalry. You know, Tennessee Kentucky Battle of the Border has been going, like I said, since the 19th century. Last year, 34-7, Tennessee got embarrassed in Neyland. How big do you think it is for these seniors and for Josh Heupel in his first year to go into Lexington and make a statement, you know, Saturday?
I think it's vital, and I think that it would do a lot to continue to invigorate this fan base that, you know, while not let down at Alabama, I think a lot of people were encouraged by what they saw for 3.5 quarters. Still, you know, that final score is a little more lopsided than people would like. And the way that we've seen this Tennessee team perform so far this year, they have certainly surpassed expectations. And so I think you'd like for them to continue to do that, not only in beating South Carolina and Missouri, but another team that you're supposed to beat every year in Kentucky. And, you know, guys across this roster may not, I mean, except for, like you said, the seniors, but other guys on this roster won't remember that 34-7 loss because you have so many new faces. You have Javonte Payton, you have Tyon Evans, Hendon Hooker, the list goes on of, you know, the primary targets in this game that weren't in Neyland last year for that embarrassment. But like you said, there are guys that remember it. And more importantly, the fan base remembers it. The fan base wants revenge. Kentucky fans, whenever they get a win over Tennessee, it's notable because it doesn't happen often. And so Tennessee fans want to erase that and put it in the back of their minds. And this Tennessee team and Josh Heupel can go a long way in earning more favor in the eyes of this fan base with a big win in Lexington.
Yeah, and from the midweek media availabilities, like I said earlier, Heupel touched on the injuries a little bit, didn't really touch on anything huge, but probably the best thing the media got this week was Alante Taylor's quote saying, you know, we don't lose to Kentucky. It's personal now. What happened last year doesn't happen. It's almost as if he made it sound like it's a rule. Tennessee is not supposed to lose to Kentucky. So with these guys coming in here with that energy off the bye, healthy, like you said earlier, I got Tennessee coming out on top 34-31. What is your final score prediction?
I'm going to go a little bigger than that. I've got Tennessee coming out 35-21 in Lexington.
Okay, so 14 points. Wow. Why do you think they're going to win so big? Like, Kentucky's 6-2. Let's not forget. They beat LSU in Florida.
I know. I don't know. I've the like you said, what we've heard from Taylor, but also just the fact that they've got everyone back. I mean, call me confident, I guess.
Yeah. Well, Kroger Field is going to be sold out. You know, it's going to be a lot of blue and white in that crowd. Some orange too, but definitely more Kentucky. Let's do some over-unders here as we are nearing the end of the show. Let's do over-under Tennessee 300 passing yards. And Mark Hendon-Hooker hasn't hit all season, but the likes of Stetson Bennett, you know, all these guys are just throwing on Kentucky rather than running. How do you see Hendon-Hooker sizing up with 300 yard mark?
I'm going to go a little under that.
Okay. And then Tyon Evans specifically, 100 yards rushing, over under?
Over.
All right. Let's do Will Levis, 250 yards passing.
I'm going to go under on that one.
I would too. And then let's do the Kentucky rushing attack, 200 yards, over under?
I'm going to go over.
Okay. So a big, big day on the ground for both teams is what you're expecting.
Yep. Yeah.
And let's do X factors. I'll join in on you with this one. Let's do Tennessee X factor on offense. Who has to step up? I know you mentioned Tyon. Is that who it is for you?
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, given the lack of production against Alabama, and like I said, what we've seen against him earlier this season against good rush defenses, he can make any team pay, and I expect to see him do that Saturday.
I'm going to go with the offensive line unit as a whole, not a specific player, just to push that Kentucky front and allow Evans and Small to run and Hooker as well. Let's do a Tennessee defensive X factor. Who you got, Jake?
I'm going to go with Jeremy Banks. I think that the emotion he plays with, and that given what we heard from Alante Taylor, that Banks can channel that into a whole nother level. We'll see if he can keep it from, going into borderline penalty territory. But I think that the emotion he plays with and the factor that he brings in the being able to shut down Kentucky's running game is too big to overlook.
I was about to say over under Jeremy Banks, one personal foul.
I really don't want to speak on that one because I'm not sure, to be quite honest.
No. Yeah. It's all for fun. I mean, it's just, yeah, it just seems to happen a lot, but he plays with a lot of heart and passion for sure. I'm going to go with Tennessee's pass rush specifically, you know, Tyler Barron, Byron Young, when he comes in, these guys just to put some pressure on Levis and make him make those mistakes like Mississippi State did. And all right, everybody, that's going to wrap up the Kentucky game. Jake, you got time for some basketball?
Absolutely, man.
All right. So now on the VR2 on SI Podcast, Jake and I are going to shift sports. Tennessee hoops Tuesday night. First game against UT Martin in Thompson Bowling Arena. But Jake, we've already had an exhibition against Lenore Ryan from last Saturday. You were there in person. You saw Kennedy Chandler bring it. He was a phenom on the court. I just want your, it's not instant, you know, it's almost a week later, but I want your reactions to Chandler's play and just how he was able to lead this Tennessee team.
Yeah, he was absolutely spectacular. I mean, If there is a word for defying expectation in the best possible way, that's Kennedy Chandler. I mean, you know, coming in, we knew he was going to be good and we knew he was going to be smooth and crafty with the basketball, but he was even more so. I mean, you know, behind the back passes, no look, everything. It was just incredible to watch. He finished with 21 points, 18 of those in the first half. The dude just balled out and looked fully in control. And I think the biggest surprise for me, well, not surprise, but the biggest shock to me is that at no point in that exhibition, even against a Division II Lenore Ryan team, at no point did he look like a freshman, anything of the sort, really. I mean, he performed with a veteran level of poise and really took control of that offense anytime he was in. I mean, you even saw, you know, whenever Rick Barnes took him out, when they had Santiago Vescovi and even Zakai Ziegler, who could be really good in, it seemed to sputter a little more. And so it looks to flow really smoothly with Chandler at the helm. And I think you saw the result of that last weekend, and hopefully we'll see more of that coming soon. I know that right now John Fulkerson is questionable to play against UT Martin. He's still dealing with that thumb injury. But yeah, a lot of positives from the basketballs the other night, and I expect to see them continue that. And we'll see how well this, you know, vaunted roster can shape up.
Yeah, Fulkerson was working with some trainers during their practices this week, just, you know, kind of doing some runs. Nothing particularly about his thumb, you know, was just on the side, not really participating with the team in 100% capacity. So we'll see if he can give it a go against the UT Martin on Tuesday with Skyhawks, right? That's their mascot. Come on, Jack. Yep. Anyway, yeah, Chandler, 3 of 5 from Beyond the Arc, or 4 of 5, excuse me, from Beyond the Arc. Just a really great performance from him. And also from fellow 5-star freshman Brandon Huntley Hatfield. I just want to get your thoughts on what you saw from the power forward and how he was able to make his presence known on the court.
Yeah, he did really well and finished with a double-double, 15 points and 12 rebounds. And Rick Barnes said after the exhibition that Huntley Hatfield was a little bit of a surprise, that he may be a little bit of a gamer, you know, somebody that may not look quite the part in practice, but really seems to flash when the lights come on. And that seems to fit, I think, the play of BHH so far. We'll see if it continues next week against UT Martin. But aside from them, you know, a couple other newcomers really played well as well. As I mentioned, Ziegler finished with 7 points, kind of got hot in the later part of the second half. And then Justin Powell, the Auburn transfer, dude was just fantastic. He finished with 14 points, 12 of them beyond the arc. And I think that with a very new and fresh group of faces, like I said before, aside from just the young guys, that this Tennessee roster overhaul is looking to be a really positive thing going into their first matchup.
Yeah, and like you mentioned, BHH shot 7 of 10, and he was just electric with leading the team in rebounds with 12. And I want to talk about, we've seen all offseason, Olivier Nkamala, you know, Fulkerson, Josiah Jordan-James, Santiago Scova, you name it, these veteran Vols who have been leading this group of 8 newcomers. You know, it's a lot of newcomers in basketball. 8 is a ton. So did you see kind of that leadership displayed on the court last Saturday with James when Nkama was with Viscovi?
Yeah, I think you could in terms of the consistency that Kamwa, whenever they needed a big play, you know, he was there with a dunk or an assist. And then especially with James too, he was 3 of 9 from beyond the arc, but hit, I think, at least 2 of those pretty early on. And so, like I said, that consistency that even without Fulkerson, that they had that leadership on the floor. But obviously, like I said before, it was the newcomers that flashed the most. But I think that in terms of leadership this season, that, you know, you're going to look to Fulkerson, but also Triple J, and then also Viscovi, who we've heard is really found himself as a leader and really established that presence since he came to Tennessee.
Most improved player, according to Rick Barnes.
Yep.
Yeah, Tennessee Vols are looking good this season, and UT Martin. Who you got? Tennessee, UT Martin, Tuesday.
I'm going to go with the Vols.
Final score, what do you got?
I think Tennessee ballpark. Tops. I think Tennessee tops the century mark again, but I think it's a little closer. I'm going to go 102-68, Tennessee.
Yeah, I think a question was asked in his presser Thursday. They have Villanova in a couple weeks, and, you know, that was the question, just how are you preparing for Villanova? And he goes, wait, we got UT Martin first. You know, he had high praise for that coach. He had high praise for that team. So, you know, you never can take an opponent lightly, but Tennessee should win with ease on Tuesday with getting many guys a lot of minutes because this roster is deep, man. And let's kind of do for football or for basketball what we did for football before the season. Who is your breakout player for Tennessee basketball this season?
I'm going to go with either BHH or Ziegler because everyone expected Kennedy Chandler to be stellar. And like I said, he lived up to that expectation and in my mind surpassed it. But I'm going to go BHH or Ziegler. Both of those guys showed me something last week. And I think that they've, you know, proven themselves in practice so far as well.
And if you could give an MVP, would you give it to Chandler?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I don't want to – look, there's so much excitement with these newcomers, but, you know, it's really important to have these older guys as well. I mean, even going as deep as Plavsic, like, these guys are really key to how far this team can go when it comes playoff time, when it comes March time. So it's going to be great to see, and everything is going right for Tennessee basketball right now, pending injury. But I'm just excited to cover the season, aren't you?
Absolutely, man.
All right. Well – we are going to Jake and I will be back with you guys on the VR2 on SI podcast soon to recap Tennessee, Kentucky, do some more basketball coverage. We're going to start doing these hopefully more often as basketball and football kind of merge seasons, especially here in the next month. So everybody, thank you for listening to this edition of the VR2 on SI podcast. Be sure and follow Jake Nichols at jnichols_2121. You can also give your host a follow while you're at it at Jack Foster TV, as well as VR2 on SI at VR2 on SI. And like I said, everybody, thank you so much for listening and allowing Jake and I to do what we love week in, week out on a Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, you name it. And that is to talk Tennessee sports. For Jake, I'm Jack, and we'll talk to all of you wonderful people next time.